Open in your Bibles to the book of Beginnings. Genesis. Chapter 37. Back a couple of months ago, I shared that we would periodically through this year, the rest of the year, be covering Joseph, things that transpired in his life, and how we can apply some of the things, the truths that he learned and that God revealed, how we can apply those to our lives in this day. We've gone through his younger life and his early boyhood life and the things that he faced, the things that he had to endure and overcome. He's a teenager now, probably somewhere around 14, 15. But he's not finished with life's lessons. Oftentimes, as God molds us and God takes the raw clay and begins to make out of it exactly what he desires, so that we can fit right where he wants us to fit, that will benefit not only us, but everyone else that's around us, and maybe humankind totally. As he's making us, things don't go quite like we think they should. There's obstacles that we have to overcome. One of those is when our dreams, our desires are shattered. In 37:5 of Genesis, Joseph has a dream, it says. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. And he said to them, listen to this dream that I had. They didn't want to hear any part of it. Have you ever experienced the heartbreak of a shattered dream? Everything was set. It looked great. You were sure things were going in a certain direction, and now everything was going to be smooth and it was going to turn out in a certain way. And then all of a sudden the bottom falls out from under everything that you were looking forward to. For some, it may have been a child that grew and matured and didn't turn out quite the way that you envisioned that it would. Maybe it was a financial setback that devastated your family and broke your heart. Maybe it was a marriage that didn't go quite like you had dreamed that it was going to go. Life, or it often seems so, is a series of shattered dreams. When our dreams are shattered, it often leaves us devastated, confused, and upset, out of sorts. It rocks our world. And sometimes we're tempted to think, and sometimes we go beyond temptation and we actually think, that God has forgotten all about us and our dreams. It might be something that we've prayed about so much, and then it looked like it was going to happen, and now it's not. We might even wonder if God has forgotten about the things that He has promised in His Word or by His Spirit, and they came alive to us, and our dreams were based on those promises, and our hope and our faith was based on those promises. And all of a sudden we say, God, didn't you mean it? When you said in your word, didn't you really mean that? When you spoke to me, wasn't that truth? Think for a moment, because often I have wondered how Joseph felt as the events of this passage, this chapter in his life begin to work themselves out. I wonder if he questioned the dreams that God had given him. Maybe when everything started falling apart, he stopped and said, well, God, maybe you had nothing to do with my dreams. Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 and 9. It says, your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down. As he was explaining to his brothers, we were out harvesting and we were in the wheat field and we were cutting with a scythe. We were gathering up. And all of a sudden, mine stood up and yours gathered around it and bowed down. They didn't like that. And in verse 9 it says, I had another dream. Oh, that's just what we need to hear. You had another dream. And this time, the sun and the moon and even stars were bowing down to me. You and I would think, boy, that's arrogant. That's exactly what his brothers and even his dad kind of thought. Don't you imagine all of that came back to him as his brothers were ripping his coat off him, dragging him toward that pit, throwing him in, ignoring the pleas, and then selling him into slavery? Joseph must have felt that his dreams had all but shattered to pieces. Go and read this 37th chapter. Look at these verses. If they teach us anything, they teach us that life can be incredibly unfair. They teach us that our dreams can put us to the test. They teach us that life does not always go the way that we think that it will. These verses have a lot to say to us today. So I want to start gleaning some truths that God has placed in the words on the pages of this chapter. I want to speak on the heartbreak of a shattered dream. We can get some help from the life of Joseph. We start off with Jacob's demand. Jacob was Joseph's dad, of course. And in Genesis chapter 37, verses 12 through 13, we read, "Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel," or Jacob, "said to Joseph, 'As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them.' And Joseph answered, 'Very well.'" So there was a command inside of this demand. Jacob wanted Joseph to go and check that all is well with his brothers. They're way off, off from the family, tending the sheep of their father. And Jacob has good reason to want to check up on them. There's a couple of real good reasons that he's concerned about his sons. See, they were down in Shechem. And it was there that Simeon and Levi had murdered an entire village to avenge the rape of their sister Diana in Genesis chapter 34. So in that region of Shechem, there was anger, and Jacob feared for the safety of his family, of his boys. They might rise up and kill all of my boys. His sons had proven that they were not trustworthy. Joseph had already had to bring back, and we covered that way back. He had already had to bring back to his father an evil report regarding some of his brothers while they were off tending sheep. They were doing some things they shouldn't have been doing. They were doing some things that was sullying their father's name. And Joseph brought that evil report back. So Jacob was probably wondering, what are they up to now? You know the old saying, if your child is quiet for a few minutes, you better go check on them, because they're messing in something. I can remember my mom, ever so often, she'd go over to a window and she'd say, "What you doing, boy?" And I'd better answer, or she was coming looking. And if she found or thought that I heard her and didn't answer, next place she was going was over to the oak tree. There was a big switch. She didn't mess around with these twigs. She wanted to hear a blood-curdling scream. So I'd give her one before she ever got there. Ah! She whipped me with a cloth belt she had on her dress. And she yanked it off and she was hitting me. I didn't even feel it, but I was yelling, ah! I wanted everybody around to think she was killing me. Especially if we were at church. Because Christians had looked down their nose at her. He wondered, what's going on with these boys? You can't trust them. So Jacob sends Joseph because he can trust Joseph to do the right thing. He'll come back and tell me what's going on. So go down and check on your brothers and bring me a report. You see, Jacob was confused. There were things in our lives that always have roots. There's a starting place for problems. And this confusion that was a part of Jacob's life. You see, evidently, Jacob was out of touch with all that was happening in his own family. He was grieving. He was preoccupied. Jacob appears to have been a father who was thinking about or occupied with things other than the needs of his family. Had he been paying attention, he would have known that Joseph's older brothers hated him. Literally hated him. He would have known that their hatred had been growing and festering and had reached a point that they couldn't even speak a kind word to him. Every time they would pass him going from tent to tent, they'd have to bump him or scowl at him or say, get out of my way. But he didn't see any of that. He didn't notice that. So either Jacob was out of touch with his family or he underestimated the extent of the problem that was brewing in his own house. He may have known what was happening, but believed that the brothers would never harm Joseph. Joseph's so lovable and kind. A little arrogant, but he's lovable. As we will see, not only were they capable of harming him, they were capable of murder. And Jacob never realized that. He didn't know. Tremendous lesson for us here. Mom and Dad, you need to pay close attention to what's happening in the lives of your children. You need to pay attention to see what's going on with your kids. You need to know who their friends are. The Bible is clear that the wrong kind of friends can ruin a life and destroy a testimony and shatter a dream. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. My mom used to say, you hang around with the pigs, you're going to smell like them. You're going to act like them. You're going to start looking like them. And you know what? She was right. You need to know, Mom and Dad, how they're spending their time and their money. You need to know what's happening in their lives. You need to know what they're looking at on the internet. More and more, teenage and preteen are getting addicted to pornography on the internet, and Mom and Dad has no idea. idea. You need to know. You need to know what they're texting and messaging one another. I can't keep up with technology. I mean, I understand texting now. Now that they've already moved on to three other things. And I don't understand them. I just heard of a new one this week, and I don't even know the name. It's, you need to know, Mom and Dad. God holds you responsible. I know we don't like that, but God holds you responsible for what goes on under your roof. Jacob was totally out of touch. But Joseph was devoted. That's point two. Joseph's devotion. In Genesis 37, verse 14b through 17, it says, when Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, what are you looking for? And he replied, I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they're grazing their flocks? They've moved on from here, the man answered him. I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. That devotion was immediate. It never crossed his mind not to obey his father. From verse 13, we see that without question, Joseph accepts his father's assignment, leaves, goes to his brothers, even though he knows his brothers hate him, even though he knows they want to kill him, if they could. He was going to be devoted to his dad. He knows the risks. But obedience to the Father commands his first priority, even above his own safety. In this, Joseph was a type of Jesus. When Jesus came into this world, he was sent by his Father, but he came willingly. There was no force involved there for him to come into the world for sinners. He came because his father asked him to, that spoken word. It was a part of God's will because God had already said even before the foundation of the world that he was going to send a lamb to be slain. And now it develops what it is and who it is. And Jesus willingly says, yes, I'll go. He knew the dangers. He knew that he would be rejected. He knew that he would be killed. He knew that he was going to die. And he was willing to come anyway because he loved you that much. Our lives are to be marked with that kind of obedience to God. When God speaks, you and I need to respond humbly and immediately to carry out His will in our lives. Nothing demonstrates our love for Jesus any more than our obedience to His will and His Father's will. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. There's something else to think about here. had Joseph and Jacob known that when they said goodbye to one another that morning, Jacob had had some of the servants make a little lunch so that Joseph could take it with him, and they met there by the mule, I would imagine. Had they realized that as they said goodbye, that it wouldn't be for just a couple of days, but it would be for 20 years before they saw each other again? Do you think their parting would have been a little different? Do you believe their attitude would have been a little different had they known? He's not going to be back day after tomorrow. It's going to be 20 years before I see him again. And during that 20 years, I'm going to think he's dead. It's in God's great mercy sometimes that the future is hidden. Hidden from us. I'm thankful for that. Because if we knew the future, and we always want to know the future. We want to know what's going to happen before it happens. But if we knew some of the things that was going to happen before they happened, we might not be obedient. We might not bow to the Father's will. So sometimes God puts his hand over the coming events so that you and I don't see them. But they're a part of that molding process that we're becoming what God wants us to be. We're going to have to trust him that in all things, he will bring good to those who love him and are called according to his promise. There, that's where they were. 20 years is going to go by before they lay eyes on each other again. But even with that, Joseph's devotion was insistent. When Joseph arrived in Shechem, his brothers wasn't there. He didn't find them there. A man tells him that they left Shechem and they're going down to Dothan. And Dothan was a pretty good ways away. Many people, most of us probably, would have felt that we fulfilled our obligation. We came to Shechem. That's what Daddy wanted me to do. They wasn't here like they were supposed to be. It's not my fault. But I fulfilled my obligations. So now I can go back home. Most of us at that moment would have shrugged our shoulders and turned and went back. Not Joseph. His father wanted to know the well-being of his sons. He wanted to hear. He wanted Joseph to bring back to him news. And Joseph wanted to carry that news back to his father. He wanted to fulfill the will and the desire of his father, even if it meant going beyond that original request that his father had made. as you're serving God, don't do the minimum. Do the maximum. Don't do just by the letter what God asks you to do. Go beyond that. In your obedience, in your desire to be pleasing to God. We like the thought that God does exceedingly abundantly beyond. But what about us? Should we not do the same? Again, in this, Joseph is that beautiful picture of Jesus. Jesus came into the world to seek the lost. He came to find every person that needed him. He came to touch a world that was literally bowing under the weight of sin. He pursued them with steadfast love. And he's still pursuing us with that same steadfast, reaching love of the Father and of him. And we still reject him, just like he was rejected in his day. But he continued, even after the rejection, to pursue. He pursued him all the way to the cross. And he climbed on the cross so that he could open a way of salvation for any and all who would come to him by faith. When we cry out to him, it doesn't matter how much we've rejected him or how much we've turned our back on him. When we cry out to him, he says, I'm here. And he purchased for us salvation and cleansing and forgiveness and eternity. Anyone who will come to him by faith, anyone that will reach out to him, anyone that will call upon his name, he is there for us. He's still pursuing today. Because Jesus was not deterred by man's rejection and hatred. He loved sinners. John 3:17, he says, I came that you might have life more abundantly. To seek and to save that which was lost. He so loved that he died to set us free. You and I sit in this building right now, right here, set free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. If you've totally surrendered your heart, if you've totally surrendered your life to him, then the weight of sin is taken off you and every chain that bound you is loosed. You and I should have the same desire within our hearts as Jesus had and as Joseph had. Nothing should be able to prevent us from accomplishing God's will in our life. Nothing should hinder us going even the extra mile. Jesus said, if they tell you to carry their cloak, carry their coat also. Not 1 mile, but 2 miles. You see, the Roman soldier could walk up to any Jewish citizen and demand, carry my load. and you were required by law to carry it for 1 mile. And Jesus said, no, if you're compelled, don't just carry their coat, but carry their cloak also. Carry whatever they're carrying. And don't carry it just one, carry it 2 miles. That's what we see. A desire to be pleasing to the Father, regardless of the cost, regardless of the pain, regardless of the opposition. I want to please Him with everything that's in me. We need to seek and to serve Him and be everything that He has saved us to be. Will I rise to that place? Will I allow Him to continue to mold and make me? Will I surrender everything, even my will, to Him? That's the question. So let me close this out, and we'll go to communion. No matter the cost, no matter the pain, no matter the opposition, we seek in everything that we do, we should seek to be pleasing to Him. And I don't know about you, but I want to reach the end of my journey in this life knowing that I did everything that He told me to do to the very fullest of my extent, my ability. And Him doing for me what I can't do for Him. Only then, when I step into the presence of the Lord, will I hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Jacob knew that he could trust Joseph. He knew that when Joseph came back, he would tell him the truth. Can God trust us that way? Or do we try to hide everything from Him? Bow your heads with me, would you please? I want us to, for just a moment, here in the presence of God, search our heart. Maybe your dreams have shattered, or they're not developing as fast as you think they should, or not quite what you want. My question would be, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do with those dreams? Are you going to let them crush you? You're going to let them so distract you that you forget about serving God? Are you going to weep and mourn like Jacob did? Or are you going to hold on and cling to God? Are you going to cling to His promises? Are you going to trust Him, knowing that the judge of all the earth will do right? your dreams have shattered, then I invite you this morning to bring your shattered dreams to Jesus right now. Let him give you help in dealing with them. He'll give you peace that passes all understanding. He'll give you joy that's full of life. He will give you everything you need, the hope to just hang on. Because God's not through with you yet. God's got a purpose for your life. And a part of that purpose is everything that happens to you in this life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a moment, you're not looking around. It's a private moment between me and you and God. Say, Pastor, I've really been wrestling with some stuff. I've got a lot of hurts down inside. I've had a lot of pain. And I just want to give it all to Jesus this morning. I want to walk out of here different than I came in. Would you pray for me this morning, Pastor? I assure you I will. Or maybe you're sitting here saying, you know, I don't know what to do with my life. There doesn't seem to be much meaning to it. I want to hear from God. Or maybe you're say, I've never really given him everything. I've never really totally surrendered. But maybe now's the time. But if you fit in any of those categories or even others that are similar that I might not have mentioned, and when I pray, you'd like to just be remembered in prayer, would you slip your hand heavenward right now? And I'll see it and I'll pray for you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes. 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 Several dozen. Father, you've seen the hands. You know the reason. Would you give reassurance this morning that your grace is sufficient? God, we look at the things that Joseph faced. It would be enough to destroy us. He kept his faith and he trusted you. Help us to do the same thing. Those that are wrestling with hurt, with pain, with rejection, those that are wrestling with dreams that might have shattered, feeling useless and worthless and hopeless and helpless. God, would you just make yourself real right now, and would you bring that soothing presence into each one's life? And as we surrender all of that pain and hurt and loneliness to you, God, would you replace it with yourself? Lord, we choose this morning right here at First Assembly, we choose to walk with you, walk in obedience to you, to walk in pleasing to you. I am so grateful for your presence this morning, Jesus. And every hand that was raised, I ask that you would visit that heart and make yourself real in it. Be that balm of Gilead that brings soothing to the brokenness. And we'll be mindful to give you the praise, the glory for everything. In Jesus' name. If you receive it, would you say amen? Amen. Those that are going to serve